kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title for us to talk on today, and we're going to talk about man's freedom in which to choose. And there's quite a lot in the Word of God with regard to this, and I trust that it's going to help you to make those right choices and to allow the Holy Spirit to work and influence us to do His will. And we're calling it today, we have freedom to choose. We have freedom to choose. And we clearly see this in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, of which he says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So it is the will of God to create, to exist. It is the will of God that we are able to breathe air and our hearts pumping away. It's the will of God that we are here today in His presence to hear His word. Everything is the will of God, and He wants us to do His will. And sadly, of course, we know that when man fell from that standard that God has set in the Garden of Eden, we know that he saw that he had a choice in which to do God's will or to disobey. His mind and heart was open to that, which God never wanted man to know. But nevertheless, we are now being restored back through Jesus Christ, where he did the will of the Father, and he atoned and he redeemed us, that through him now we can walk and do our Father's will. You see, the Lord never insists on having authority over us or over our will. You see, we're perfectly free to choose. Now, we know that man is only free to choose if he's not in Jesus Christ in which way to sin. That is the only freedom he has. You see, we need to understand that when God predestined all things, he included in his predestination man's free will or free choices and actions. That's why he never stopped Eve from taking of the fruit of the tree. She was at liberty to do so. He warned what would happen, but she still had a free choice. And you see, God had to predestine man's freedom to choose evil as well as good. You see, if God didn't do that, man would just be, as we know, like an animal or like a robot, and not able to glorify God in his right choices. And that is why he's given us freedom to choose, because it's about his glory. That's why. And everything is for the glory of God. That we do, we say, our actions, our faith, our meeting together, our worshipping him, everything is for the glory of God, including our free will. And you see that man put Jesus to death. He put him to the cross. He had a free will. The Romans were able to crucify him. God didn't stop it. Even though God predestined everything, it was in God's plan and foresight, yet man had a free will in which to crucify him. The Jews had a free will in which to put him to the cross, to reject their Messiah. That is man's will in operation. When we read our history books, that is man's will in operation, coming up all the time. It was man's free will to abuse him, to spit upon him. And yet he never said a word in all the abuse that he had. That was the will of his father. He was doing his father's will in not fighting back. And that's why so tragically he's being put to death every day in the world. And he never says a word, even now. Man is rejecting him, crucifying him daily through sin, through blasphemy, rebellion. And he never says a word. He still doesn't say a word now. There we see man's free will. We have a freedom in which to choose. However, when we give our life over to the Lord, then something changes. Because we have to be created anew in Christ through his redemption. That is why you become a new creation. You choose to follow him, to place your life, your future, your very all into his hands. And we instantly recognize his right to complete authority over us. That is one of the understandings you get when you are truly born again and you receive Christ as your Savior. Something within you says, he now has authority over me. I have surrendered my will. And that is an inner knowing, a revelation, an understanding when you receive the new birth. Even though you may be battling with God's will, you still have that understanding of God's will. And of course, when you read the word, that is revealing the will of God to us. For example, in John 13, verses 13 to 14, here Jesus is revealing something where he washes the disciples' feet. In John 13, 13 and 14, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He's teaching there the will of God to these disciples. He's revealing the Father's will in which to humble ourselves, to minister to our brother and sister, to put our brother and sister first before ourselves. And he's giving an example of this. He's revealing we can choose that or reject it. We have a choice, you see. And the problem that we have at times with doing the will of God, we either feel we're unworthy, which is like a condemnation, and therefore, because I'm not good enough and the Lord knows all about me and my background, my upbringing was so bad and everything, it's just an excuse to refuse to bow the knee. But we try to be religious and pious about it. But you see, we're refusing to see and acknowledge the one worthy of respect of obedience. And that is the point. I choose to obey because of the one who is worthy of that respect and obedience, of what it cost him in which to redeem me, to reconcile me back to my Heavenly Father. He's worthy of that. That's why we obey, and that has to be imparted to you. You have to learn that as you walk with the Lord. And as you go on, you realize what God has done, the mercy he's had over your life. And very often, that's really hammered home when you go out or you see people in the state that they've fallen into, or maybe friends that you knew or at school and you see them years later and the state that they're in. You think, gosh, they weren't like that when they were at school. Look what they are now. And it makes you realize how God has had mercy on you. There go I by the grace of God. And that's why our choosing to do God's will always comes back to faith. It's believing. It's believing that God will work in me with my will, that God will work those things, that I will obey him and trust him. It's trusting in the word. And it always comes back to faith every time. If you see a saint that obeys God and is being blessed by the results of their obedience, it's because they believe, they're having faith, they're asking God to work that obedience in them. That's how they get the faith to obey. A lot of Christians sort of think, oh, I can't obey, I don't know how to do it. It's on the basis of believing that God is great enough to work obedience in you because you've now received him as your saviour. And so you're aware now it's doing his will. Comes back to believing. The Apostle Paul saw this on the road to Damascus in his conversion. Look in Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Acts chapter 9. Verses 5 and 6, you know this well, but look what it says here. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And he did it. Immediately, he has the faith in Christ. Now he's received the new birth. And immediately after this, he says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He's yielding to the will of God. He was doing completely the opposite to God's will by persecuting Christians, throwing them into prison. Look what takes place here, you see. And he was instantly changed. And that is what happens with us. Something happens. It changes us. And as God then begins to work with us, both to will do for his good pleasure. We can't explain this. If we could, we could control faith. But we can't. We can't explain it. I can't explain why I have that desire to do God's will. You have the same or whatever. These are things that are spiritual. You can't impart this to anybody else. It's revealed to you. And rightly so, because otherwise we would try and control our faith. And you can't control faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, working it in your heart, your will. This word we're listening to now is working with your will in which to choose the right things, you see. Because we always want to seek an explanation for everything, and you can't. There is a lot of things in this walk and that God's doing in your life you can't explain. And it isn't for the world to know. It's between you and God. All of what God does is for his glory. And all he wants from you is to recognize that, to praise him and thank him and lift holy hands in his presence. You see, it's not natural for us to obey. And we don't always straight away recognize that we're disobeying. It's not within us to recognize a greater authority. We're always suspicious of greater authorities. We're always not sure about them, whether it be the police or judges or MPs or whatever it is who have been given that authority by God. We're never sure. We doubt. We have a problem with it. It's what the fall has done, you see. And of course, we know that the enemy, he uses that and he works rebellion in man because he had a problem with authority. And because he had a problem with authority, he thought, I will be God. I'll have the authority. And as a result, he was cast immediately out of the presence of Almighty God. And a third of the angels that thought he could do it also fell as well. You see? A freedom to choose. You see, God never, through all of this, he never breaks the human spirit, unlike communism does, or fascism, or whatever it is. It tries to break the spirit. Some parents are cruel with their children. They are trying to break the spirit of that child. But God never does that. He'll say, you mustn't do that. Don't do it. I shall face the consequences. He said that to Adam and Eve, but he never breaks or crushes the human spirit. You see, that's why a person is simply a slave for obeying, unless behind the obedience there is a recognition of a holy God. And that's why we obey, because behind all of this, the motive is he's a holy God, and he's given me insight and revelation that he has the final say over my life, where I will spend eternity, either in hell or in heaven. And that's good, that's godly, there's nothing wrong with that. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because God has given you revelation, he's given you insight into that, you see. But you've still got a free will. That is the whole point. You see, religion always stops you coming to God because there is only one master of the human heart, and that is Jesus and not religion. And that is why God isn't religious. Man is religious. The devil is religious. You see, there's only one master of the heart, and that is Jesus, and that is grace and mercy and love. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. There is Isaiah, his conversion, his calling as a prophet. He's influenced by what he's seeing. And what he's seeing, he says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You've opened my eyes to see this. But God isn't crushing his spirit. He's showing him deliverance and healing. And that's what God always does. That is why I always pray over the word that it will be healing, salvation, and deliverance. Because that is the nature of God's word. That is his love, which of course we were talking about on Sunday. And that's what he says. And what does he say in verse 1, where he's called to be a prophet? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And they cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You see? He wants us to experience that to help us to choose to do his will, which we've said we will do by receiving Christ as our Saviour. But Jesus never insists that I obey. But if I don't, I've already signed my death warrant. So he shows us we have a free will even now. But he says, with the light that you have and what you have received, if you don't obey, if you don't do what I ask, you are signing your death warrant. And for those who have tasted and have seen and heard the word, have experienced the grace of God and turned their backs on that, their future, if they don't turn back to the Lord, is going to be unspeakable, horrendous, because of what they knew and received. They chose to go to that place. They chose to go to hell, eternal torment. And that will be their torment, that they were so stupid that they could have done something about it, but they willed not to. Oh, I thank God for the grace of God. I thank him that he's working with us both to will do for his good pleasure. Left to ourselves, we will utterly destroy ourselves. Did you know that disobedience is breaking off from the light? As he is the light of the world, they're no longer wanting that light, wanting to see anymore. It's horrendous. You can't get your mind round Christians that do this. What is it that motivates them? It's because their hearts are elsewhere in the world. Was their hearts ever really touched at the beginning? One has to even ask that question. What does it say in John chapter 3? John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. 3, 19 to 21 of John. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So we need the light of God in which not only to be saved, but in which to walk in that which he has wrought for us. And that is why we always come back to the Word of God. We come regularly to our meetings, because that is the light that exposes, reveals where God wants to heal me. He wants to work in me, to trust Him, to obey Him, you see. You know, like Saul of Tarsus, when we truly see Him, we want to obey. There's something within you that when you're not obeying God, you cannot be at peace until you yield and stop fighting and resisting. It's that letting go that I've made much of over the years. And eventually we do. And we let go and we dare not want to touch it anymore. And the reason we don't want to touch it anymore, because it brought nothing but torment and misery, you see. That's the mercy and grace of God again. You know, someone said this: the level of my growth in grace is revealed by the way I look at obedience. The level of my growth in grace is revealed by the way I look at obedience. And that's why God says, my grace is sufficient. And if you understand that, then you are understanding obedience, doing the will of God. We note that when the Apostle Paul sought God three times, he didn't continue going back to the Lord and asking why or whatever. He simply obeyed, he yielded. He said, okay, I may not fully understand, but I'm doing the will of God. And he moved on. And that's what we have to do. There are some Christians just won't move on because they want to know. They want to know why this has happened or is happening to me, and I'm not making a step forward until I get some answers. Well, you won't get very far with God on that, because that is not walking by faith, trusting Him. We have to trust that our Father loves us, and that everything we go through, everything that happens to us, has been filtered by Him. He has seen everything. He would never, ever allow it unless He knew that something great for His glory is going to come out of this. That is why I say your trials, your tribulations that you are going through is for God's glory, and something great will come out of it in time. Bigger than you think. For He says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't even try and get your mind into it. What is going to come from this, and not only in this life, but in eternity as well. That is why the man-child in Revelation 12 is so special to God. In the womb, developing, trusting God, allowing the Spirit to do that work, and not fighting or coming against God. And look what He will do. He will reveal that to the world, and the world will see a remnant that desired and wanted to do the will of God, to obey, you see. That is what He's going to reveal, because a lot don't want to. They want Christ as their Saviour, but they still want to walk in the world and enjoy the world and sin, and you can't. It doesn't work. It's called the broad way. You see, obedience can only be achieved by two seeing that they are equal in relationship to the Father and Son. Just like the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are equal, they are one, they yield, they do not resist, they do the will, each of them in that sense. It's the same with us, that we're now one with the Godhead, and we don't fight, but we yield over to that oneness that works through us. Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's look at Hebrews 5 and verse 8, which we know so well, because I want to show you, which you do know, that Jesus also had to learn all of this. In Hebrews 5 and verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There you are. So his learning obedience worked perfection, which God is working perfection in us, that degree of perfection. And God used that perfection that he would be the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And then he's called by God to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so we see a type of what God's doing, what he did there with Christ, he's doing with us. He's perfecting us. He's perfecting our faith, our consecration, our obedience. And the only way he can do that is in Revelation 12, in the womb of the woman, the church. That's where it can be achieved. Because the world now is in such a state, a lot of the church, Christendom, is in such a state, such a mess, that God has to separate a remnant to himself to perfect and work, you see. Why? For God's glory. It's always for his glory. And it's his will. And that's why I say you have the greatest calling upon your life. You can look at callings in the world. You can see people of great eminence, great authority, these kings and queens, these despots, these rulers and everything. Not a patch on the calling that's placed on your life for eternity. And the world will see it and will look in awe and wonder and give all the praise and glory to God. Even your enemies will bow their knees and acknowledge that this is God, what he's done. Why? Because you choose to obey. We've surrendered our freedom over to God and allowed him to work. In actual fact, this is freedom. We thought we were free to choose, but now we're actually free. Because if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. So you really are. It's wonderful how God does it. What a mighty God we serve. And it's not a lot to ask. It's not impossible. Jesus has paid the price. He's done it for us. He's now made it possible by coming back to us, empowering us by the Spirit, and that he will work in this through us to take over. That is why it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God.